Hi.
Greetings and welcome to the Toy Podcast.
That was unnecessary completely. I don't believe, you know, if we want to start a proper podcast, the way not to start it, we shouldn't start it with weeaboo bullshit right off the bat. Then again, that's all toy is.
I thought that was Inagata Davida.
No, it was Mikuru Beam. The fact that I know that makes me feel bad. Anyway, I'm Kona Taizumi.
I'm Rams. I am amazing.
Yes, you are, Skeletor. And I'm Ramses, a.k.a. Action Master Anonymous.
And then we also have Shock Gway, who has the worst microphone ever. So if you hear a submarine pinging, that's Shock Gway's microphone. By the way, little
if
known fact.
If you hear an alien invasion, that is Shock Gway.
That's how you say or Shock Gway. We're podcasting semi-live from Vault 83, which was the vault designed by Vault-Tec to hold toy collectors against their will without any toys. It was actually designed
to smuggle in a Legends.
It was actually designed in part by Vault-Tec and Mattel for Mattel to test how long they could abuse their customers.
No. I hollowed out my scrotum and stuck a Legends Cosmos in there. He's right here. Look at him.
Oh, shit. Really? Thing. Check that out. We win, Mattel! See that? See that? You can't keep us in here without toys forever.
Fuck you, Maddie. This is Hasbro and this bitch.
So, I guess, on that note, once again, I'm Mr. Konata Izumi. We also have Shockway, Skeletor, Ichabod, and Ramses Rivera, a.k.a. Action Master Anonymous. And this is the first edition of the Toy Podcast, still unnamed. We may just call it Breakaway's Boardroom, because Breakaway's awesome. Anyway, I think we should just get right started into this week's exciting toy news. If somebody could clue us in to what's going on with DCUC Wave 9, that would be awesome. For those of you that don't know, DCUC is DC Universe Classics, aka all those nifty 6-inch Batman figures. So please do clue us in what Mattel's done now.
Okay. What ended up happening with Wave 9 of DC Universe Classics is it's been short shipped all retailers, and Mattel has put up a press release recently saying, and quote, Mattel has always done its best to fulfill product on its shelf, and we are currently working on shipping as much Wave 9 as possible. We will work with our customers to fulfill as many many orders as possible. It is also possible that we will go back into production of Wave 9 down the line due to greater demand. But nothing is set in stone just yet. Still working on this.
TLDR, that basically means that they underproduce the Wave, and they may reproduce the Wave in the future. But at this point, it's a scalper's gold mine.
25% of what was promised is being made, has been made and is going out.
For example, this is only the figures
that were ordered by websites such as BBTS or by major retailers such as Walmart and that. That is the 25% that they have produced, the amount they usually produce to cover overstock or purchases beyond that which they promised.
And even those retailers that did put in an order for a good amount are being shortchanged. Those of you who did not pre-order, those of you who pre-ordered from BBTS, if you didn't pre-order before February 20th of this year, meaning 7 months ago, you will not be receiving Wave 9 figures. You may not be receiving Wave 9 figures. They're confused as to whether or not people that pre-ordered after February 12th are even going to get them.
I.e., you're really fucking boned. Because, and I've seen this Wave, and I was actually really excited for this Wave, because I had a lot of my favorite characters. It had Deadshot, it had Wildcat, Green Arrow, the Black Canary, and Black Adam,
So, AKA, if you're a scalper and you're listening to this podcast to find out how you can make money, Go to your local Toys R Us and look for Wave 9, because I guarantee you within the next couple weeks, this is going to be the biggest scalper paradise since Camaro Concept 09 Bumblebee from the first movie.
Oh lord, don't get me started.
The news is going to spread, and then every scalper will be listening to our conversations.
They're going to love us.
I'm doubting this.
I'm going to predict that we're going to be talking more about Mattel later, but I don't want to be talking about Mattel too much because we all know what a slippery slope that is. So I think we should move on to the next topic, which is...
More Mattel news as Wave 12 pictures arise of DC Universe Classic. Opinions, thoughts, generalization of what we just saw.
I've never gotten a DCUC figure, so I'm out. Though I think the fact that they're putting Blue Beetle 3 into the next wave, into Wave 13, kind of cool. I like Blue Beetle 3. And Superboy is a faggot, so I don't think I'll be buying him. Superboy is a complete faggot.
Whoa, dude,
and I'm set.
I don't care for Superboy.
That's Wave 12.
A lot of other characters, I just want the
That's Wave 13. What's in Wave 12? Because Wave 13 didn't get pictures. Wave 12 did. What is Wave 12?
Wave 12. It is Eclipso, Mary Marvel. I hate going my memory here because I got everything decided to close because it's downloading.
It's the Darkseid
build-up
figure.
Yeah, it's a Darkseid build-up figure. With a
Dark Side.
With another mid for a hand. Walls.
Okay.
Here's the official breakdown. It's Spectre, which is going to have a glowing dark skin. Eclipso, Dr. Midnight, Iron, Copperhead, Mary Might, and Desaad. And all the figures in that wave will contain pieces of great Darkseid.
I've never heard of any of those characters but Darkseid.
Okay. That's the problem with this wave. That's actually my biggest problem. It's like, there's no named characters in this wave. Unless they're just gonna ship it in with a Batman and a Superman, which I'm pretty sure they will. For the most part, it's gonna be a pretty forgettable wave for the most part. In reality, this should have been the short pack wave.
That's the problem with DCUC, because there's a lot of DC characters that nobody knows about.
But when are they going to produce other characters that actually have names, like Martian Manhunter? When was the last time we had a
Or Toyman? In fact, we're getting a Cheetah in Wave 13. If we would get a Toyman, we could do the entire commercial. But no, they have to do a bunch of nameless characters first.
Has more than ample articulation.
Meaning we could do, officially with Wave 13, since we're getting a classic Cheetah, we have Lex Luthor, classic. We have Brainiac, classic. We have Cheetah, classic. We have Solomon Grundy. Do we need anyone else?
Giganta.
Is she even in it?
There's, the minor characters.
There's the people sitting around the table, but... Okay, for those of you that don't know what commercial we're talking about, you didn't have a childhood. Solomon Grundy want pants, too.
Yeah, it was a commercial for Cartoon Network, and they spliced in Super Friends footage with new voice actors. It's pretty much the same thing that you saw in early Adult Swim.
Now, a lot of those, I'm thinking that we only need the characters that actually spoke lines, yeah?
But here's the thing, you said Toyman, I just remembered something. Toyman is part of this weird, voting, the next, waving voting toy.
Oh, so he...
we got screwed out of Toyman because of fucking Raven.
Realistic Raven or anime Raven? Because I hate Teen Titans comics.
Realistic Raven.
Fucking damn it.
The only reason everyone's voting for Raven is because of animated Raven.
I'm pretty sure they're going to make it animated-esque.
No, people love the animated Teen Titans, but I hate the comic Teen Titans.
I love the comic Teen Titans.
It's because of the art style. The art style completely turns me off. And here I am, a Lucky Star fan, talking about good art.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, I love... Maybe it's just me, but I loved Teen Titans. I love the George Perez art so much. I even sucked myself into buying the first two pack that came out on Manny Collector. With Starfire and Starfire and Strange.
Skeletor, you sound like you're on the phone. Anyway, you guys want to move on to the next topic? Because we've been talking about Mattel for 10 minutes.
And we're going to go back to it in a few minutes, too.
Yeah. So, the next topic, I guess, G.I. Joe stuff.
Yo, Joe!
What is Arctic Destro? Somebody explain that to me. It's got
okay,
your Arctic Destro.
What it is it's the new line called Pursuit of Cobra, which is going to be next year's theme.
A.K.A. when all the good figures come out, like the Jungle Viper and everything goes crazy.
The Jungle Viper and my personal favorite, the Jungle Tracker, which has like...
And Beachhead and the new Hiss Tank and all that cool shit.
I want the Dreadlock one.
Yeah,
for some reason that one was cool.
Yeah, that's
also Snake Duke.
Snake Duke.
Yeah, Snake Duke because he's got a sword.
Yeah, I like the more accurate Zartan they're gonna release as well. And my personal favorite, they were gonna release a new Duke. But this Duke in particular makes him look a lot like Tom Berenger.
So what is Arctic Destro?
Well, the thing, the concept with each, with these figures now, is they're going to be attacked, like, Cobra's going to be...
Attacking different areas of the world.
Yes, there's going to be a City Assault, there's going to be Jungle Assault,
Arctic Assault,
Arctic Assaults, and I think...
Atlantis Assault.
Yeah.
Desert.
Yeah, that's right, because that's where the Zartan figures. Yeah, and Desert Assault. And each of them have, like, their own unique, like, you know, teams. And in this one, I think, like, the leader of, like, the Arctic team is going to be Destro for the bad guys.
And what's he wearing? Is he, like, a coat-wearing son of a bitch, or what?
Yeah, he's, I think, a bit of a remold of Paris.
I just looked up some pictures. He reminds me of the Red Skull.
Well, the figure, that's just a prototype for right now.
Well, prototypes are... Oh, I see it. Yeah, he's only red because he's a prototype. But yeah, it's... And he's got, like, ice fists. That's neat.
Yeah, it's a pretty good figure. And I really like the Destro from this current line in the movie. And they need to improve it. It's just a big improvement. And I think this is, like, one of the better improvements I've seen so far.
I really wish I had gotten the Comic-Con Destro.
Me too. I was at Comic-Con. Didn't get him.
You guys gonna hate me for this? I got two.
That's awesome. That's great.
I got two.
I could have gotten one.
I got one.
You can still get them through Hasbro Toy Shop.
Yeah, you can get them for good price at Hasbro Toy Shop. Regular damn price.
I see.
I just don't, you know, I don't want to
get the money for you.
Also, by the way, we lost Ichabod really quickly. Ichabod will be back, but he won't be talking just for the next couple minutes. I'm gonna call him back right now, but... He had shoddy connections, so if you don't hear that fifth voice, that's why. Just letting you know, listeners. But,
I have a shoddy connection, too.
I wanted to talk about, like, just in general, what's going on with Joe's. A person on histank.com found a new multi-pack at Toys R Us for $26, and it includes, let me get the precise list. From his tank, I can get it for you right now. It's got a Duke, it's got a Ripcord, and let me get exactly which ones it comes with.
It comes with Duke and Ripcord. They're in training uniform, so it looks like it's pretty much a rehash of the Pit Attack.
Yeah, it comes with Duke, Ripcord, Pit Trooper, two Cobra Neo Vipers. And a Cobra Mole Pod for $26, which
that's
is...
That's more than enough right there. That makes up more for the price, seriously.
Yeah, for $26, you're getting an Alpha vehicle and five figures. Five figures alone would cost you $30.
That's bullshit. I bought all of those, and I could have bought that.
Well,
now,
go,
consider, an Alpha vehicle costs you, I believe, $16. So you're getting a 46...
Like
you're getting a $46 value... For $26. That's an incredible price.
Toys R Us has been doing good deals on G.I. Joes as of late. Like, seriously, if you want to get, like, the best place you can pick up any kind of G.I. Joe stuff, I highly recommend going to Toys R Us.
Because they not only have the multi-packs, like the troop building packs coming out, but they've got all those exclusive figures like Barbecue and the Celebrated Flash.
And they also got, You also got
somebody's messing with their mic. Please don't worry about it. But
yeah.
Yeah, they've got a lot of great figures in the Headquarter for Heroes line.
Yeah, I was gonna say bench press, and I forgot the name of the fighter that's supposed to be with them as well.
But there's a lot of great figures coming down the pipeline. We've got, in a couple months, we're going to see Desert Viper on shelves in that wave, and that's going to be great because Desert Viper comes with all those accessories. If you're one of those guys who bought Pit Commander just for accessories, then you're going to love Desert Viper because he comes with a bunch of guns, a bunch of stuff, and the Eagle Falcon sword, which is Snake Eyes' trademark sword. And then also... We're also getting City Strike Snake Eyes with that in that wave, which is the Resolute Snake Eyes packed with shit tons of accessories. And people are saying...
That's another good point to say, because a lot of the figures that are planned for Resolute are going to be waved in next year.
Yeah, we're seeing Resolute Ripcord... Roadblock. And
As a Walmart exclusive.
And we're also going to see Resolute Scarlet, but I'm not sure what... I think she's being packed as City Strike as well.
Yes.
So we're getting a lot... If you liked Resolute, and if you liked the style of Resolute, we're not only getting those, but we're also getting a repaint, if eBay's to be believed, we're getting a repaint of Resolute Cobra Commander in a kind of nice icy white and blue called Arctic Cobra Commander.
Yeah. I think that was supposed to.
I gotta pay more attention to the G.I. Joe news.
Now, well, yeah. There's a lot of good sites because Toy, as of late, hasn't been talking about it as much. If you've noticed, they've been talking about other things. They've been talking about Figma's breaking and stuff like that. They didn't talk a lot about the newest Masters of the Universe release. If anyone could clue me in on that, because I don't know about it either.
That sucks.
Webster.
Who is Webster? Skeletor, you're our He-Man guy. Who is Webster?
Honestly, I never knew. I never cared. He was just not important to me.
So why did they release him as a
Spider guy?
Why did they release him before other more important figures?
Why did they release
the first part of the subscription service? So you were guaranteed other crappy figures.
Because it's Mattel.
Honestly, I don't know why they didn't just stick with all of the mainstay characters.
When do the good Masters figures come out, like Battle Cat?
Next year, actually.
So we're not seeing any decent figures on Matty Collector in that line until next year.
Not true. November, we get Scareglow.
And does he glow in the dark?
He glows in the dark. He comes with a Grayskull Reliquary and an awesome Pimp Inside. Which is actually a glaive, but that's another story.
That's awesome. And I guess, any other news? Okay, I think there's a big bit of news that came up lately. This week, three separate artists have released their concept art from Revenge of the Fallen. These include Ben Proctor, who single-handedly did all the robot designs for Movie 1. Josh Nizzi released a couple new things, and he single-handedly did the design for the new Megatron. He does a bunch of comic covers as well. And then a couple more people released concept art. We saw a lot of images of possible Constructicons that didn't make it into the movie, such as Overload, a concept design that Bren Proctor did of Overload, the Korematsu dump truck. And we also saw a drawing of something that Toy has called Sharp Wheel McPunchfist, who turns into kind of this construction vehicle with a saw blade at the top, and then his robot mode is just these fists... And his torso is a giant saw blade.
I've seen those that machine in action. It's just to cut timber in half, make it small enough to move it somewhere else.
I think they really used it to cut into
the pyramid or something.
Yeah, I think they really went all out with the Constructicon designs, and it's a shame that we didn't see those.
You know, it's weird because when I saw that big wheeled Constructicon, I thought at first that was like some fan made version at first.
But no,
holy shit, that would have been so freaking awesome to see that like in action. That would have.
That's what I said about all the Constructicons, and that's what we certainly all thought. When I guarantee you that there is not one person who objects to the idea of a Decepticon that turns into a nuclear submarine that's big enough to take down an aircraft carrier. I guarantee you we didn't see it for budget reasons, but the movie didn't cost more than $200 million. It's made $400 million. They could have afforded to put that into the movie.
Especially since the concept art has it looking like a giant fucking lamprey.
And have you noticed that all the robots that they did put into the movie are just reused robot designs?
Yeah, we could have seen, instead of all those protoforms, we could have seen Sharpwheel McPunchfist and Overload in that battle scene. We could have seen a lot more things. They put a lot of detail into a lot of bots. They made more biker, they made more members of the RCs. They made a lot more bots that we didn't see in this movie. And they put a lot of care into the designs that we only saw for a couple minutes. Mixmaster, they put a lot of design into his face and into his body, and we only saw him for a second.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, and there's also the thing about Devastator, how much he cost Bay to make. Just for that ball scene, we could have gotten so many other robots.
Yeah. No, and actually, I kind of like the Devastator concept that leaked. That got wheels instead of legs.
My God. I didn't like it. The Devastator we saw felt a lot better than that one, but that's just my opinion.
And then
personally,
what other designs?
I think Devastator should have been without the Decepticals. However,
very
I do like
so.
The idea of having all of the other Constructicons. I feel sort of cheated that they reused the character models and the vehicles to have effectively
absolutely, and I feel
field.
Really cheated that they used Protoform so much.
Yeah, but I can at least understand that with the scene earlier of Starscream and the obligatory gay fanfiction, "Our babies are dying." Moment,
yeah.
So.
And we saw a lot of. We saw that they put a lot of care into the Fallen. The Fallen morphed from something completely different into what he is now. There were so many different designs for the Fallen.
To see the Anubis Fallen. That would
yeah.
have been
one of the designs, if you haven't seen them yet, you can find them on TFW or Cybertron. I usually don't recommend people to go there, but they exist.
I've been seeing these photos right now. Holy fucking shit.
Yeah, the Fallen, he went from... It looked originally... He had purple eyes. He looked kind of like a direct cross between the Decepticon logo and the Egyptian god Anubis.
Yeah, I see
what
that.
What kind of god is Anubis again? I just know he's a god, that's it.
I believe he's the god of death.
The god of death.
God of
yeah.
embalming. The god of death was Seth, actually. We'll
Son and Seth, that's...
Yeah. And then we also we noticed, I saw Ben Proctor has a tiny little face design of the Fallen. He's got green eyes, and I like that one a lot.
And I think I'm looking at somebody, I saw one in particular that sort of looked ridiculous, but I think if this would have panned out, this would have been great. I saw Ben Proctor's design for the Power of Optimus Prime.
Yes,
like,
I was going to get to that one next. That one's really impressive.
It looks like this guy, does he have enough guns?
No, the concept is basically, instead of combining with Jetfire, he would combine with his own trailer. And he kind of looks, to me, he looks very super robot. In that...
Yeah, I know, but the problem with that was how they would bring that into the story. How they would bring Optimus Prime's trailer into the story. That they can't just have it roll by and then all of a sudden they can combine.
Well, just give him a trailer at the beginning of the movie. It's not a story element to have a trailer.
And the second one I've seen is Josh Nizzi's art. The same thing for the Power Armor. I think I'm more inclined for these more.
Yeah. And you'll notice, one of the things I noticed that you can tell that Ben Proctor looked to other robot series to get the inspiration for that.
Yeah,
because
it looks a lot like Gal Gigar.
For me, it looks like it looks very Megas.
I think so, but I think to me, the way it looks big and how it still keeps still it has that aesthetic still of Optimus Prime. It feels a lot like Gal Gigar.
It does. It feels like Cybertron Optimus Prime a little bit because you get that Gal Gigar influence there too, and he combines with his trailer as well.
All I need is a lion, a train, a big plane.
And then, speaking of lions, trains, and big planes, recently, somebody on, I believe it was Toy, I'm not sure where I saw this, but somebody bought the, if you guys don't follow Power Rangers, the recent Megazords are referred to by, like, G6 and G3, right now, the current Power Rangers series is Power Rangers RPM, and it's based off the Power Ranger, the Sentai series Goanger, and in Goanger, they were referred to as like G3, G6, yes. Because of referring to the amount of Zords that combine into the main Megazord. And at Toys R Us, you can get, I believe it's $40, you can get G6, which is 6 Zords, for $40. And on the back of that, it confirmed that all 12 Zords are going to be released in the United States, which was unclear, because we knew that we were getting at least up to the G6, and we knew we were getting G12 because the Dino Train Megazords the Dino Train Power Rangers were pictured, and those are our original characters that Bandai's putting out. But I don't believe we were actually confirmed on whether or not we were getting the whale plane thing, the G9. But recently, not only did we see that on the back of the packaging, and we saw on the back of the packaging all 12 Zords, leading some people to believe that they're going to release them in a gift set. But they also, online in the on Bandai's website, you can see what they're calling the mock Megazord, which is the whale plane and the shark copter.
Because I was wondering I didn't quite get a name, so
mock Megazord.
Because to be honest with you, I remember distinctly seeing this. But this was like, I guess I'm a huge Sentai and Kamen Rider fan. If anybody on Twitter I blew up Twitter one day because I was twittering about W.
Yeah.
Which I'll do later. Anyways, when I saw these designs for the fully combined Zord in Japan for Goanja, I was like, this is the most fucking ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Yeah, Goanger Zord is very ridiculous. And it's going to be fun to see RPM do it, because RPM is a bit strange because of how serious it is. And I think that, I don't know, I know that they, okay, so Goanger, G3 in the U.S. is called, what's it called? Do we know what it's called in the U.S.? I know it's, I forget the name of it, actually. G6, the three Megazords that combine to form G6 are called Valtech. G9 is called Mach, and we don't know the name of what they're going to be calling the Dino Train Zords, but we do know that they are getting Rangers, and I think the Ranger designs that they're using for the Dino Train Rangers are pretty cool.
I saw that. I saw that gift set the other day, and I had no idea that it was news. I thought it was just normal run-of-the-mill Ranger stuff, but I thought it was cool that the gift set, everything's chrome. Versus the singular releases where there's no chrome on any of the singular Megazord releases. The gift set, they're all chromed out.
I didn't know the gift set was out, and I'm just informing people that it's out there. Do you know the price? Did you happen to see the price?
Yeah, it was $39.99.
Which is not bad.
25% off sale.
Which isn't bad considering the first Megazord was $40 when it first came out. Alone.
And I think it's a good price, because like you're paying for a lot of toy for $40,
and you're getting chrome.
Exactly,
and chrome. Who doesn't love chrome?
Transformers fans.
People will buy Hentai.
The Hentai guys.
Now Shockwave has contributed because he can't really talk; his mic's still messed up. He says that Power Rangers stopped being cool after Space, and a lot of people tend to agree that after the Zordon era, Power Rangers lost its thing. But, you know, we'll talk about more about that in opinion. Any other news anyone want to discuss? Anything?
I'm just making one last check on any website that might get anything that needs attention.
Let's talk about the Figma's breaking.
We can do that in personal rants thing, I guess.
Yeah, I think I see something right here. DVD exclusive,
The new Prime.
Yeah, the new Prime and everything for the Japanese version of Revenge of the Fallen.
In fact, I think what we'll do is we'll give a link in the podcast. We'll actually, like, put a link on the chapter so you guys can see the pictures of this. It's basically, like, it looks a bit like Nightwatch. What they're doing is, in Japan, when you buy the DVD or the Blu-ray, you get, of RPF, of course, you get an exclusive, you get a couple of exclusive repaints. You get a new Leader Prime with blue swords, which is awesome. And he's kind of like black with yellow flames, kind of reminiscent of the movie one Nightwatch Prime. Then
yeah,
you
but
also
this
get
little way better than the movie Prime.
Yeah, then you
than Nightwatch.
Yeah, definitely, it does look better than Nightwatch. Then you also get it's a nice gunmetal black, which it looks really nice. It's a nice combo, and those blue swords are badass. But then you get a clear Legends Bumblebee, which is kind of like this see-through yellow piss Bumblebee.
Yeah.
And then you get a stealth Bumblebee Legends repaint, which is just obligatory.
Look, to be honest with you, I have stealth Bumblebee from the first movie, and I thought that was, like, the greatest figure of all. Like, I really don't buy any repaints, but I loved
Concept
Bumblebee so much.
Yeah. Now, I actually have stealth Bumblebee in one incarnation. He is in the Transformers 2 game. So I have him there.
Nice.
Yeah, he came as part of the DLC.
Oh, really? That's part of the DLC?
Yeah.
Crazy. I gotta get on that shit.
If you don't have the DLC already, if you own the game and you don't have the DLC, you're not playing the game, because the game becomes yards better with the DLC. It's got better maps, it's got expert mode, and the new characters, just Jazz and Soundwave, are worth the price of admission.
You're worth the price of admission.
I wish I was. Thank you. And then I guess, what did you guys buy this week? I got Movie Deluxe Soundwave. Worth buying.
I got GoGo 13.
GoGo 13 Figma?
Yeah, GoGo 13 Figma.
What was that again?
I didn't get anything because I'm broke.
A lot of people can represent with that. We all helped you get your rent funds back.
Oh, God. I feel so ashamed talking about the haul, because, like, and here's what I got. At Walmart, I picked up two two-packs of the new G.I. Joe 2-packs, the off-screen 2-packs. I picked up, Monkey Wrench, and I picked up Monkey Wrench and Tunnel Rat, and I picked up Shockwave and, Night Creeper. And then at Toys R Us, I found Universe Inferno, and I also found Delta 6 Accelerator Suit Duke, and I also found the Cobra Eel.
Wait, you bought the big expensive Duke?
No.
Oh, you mean the 3 3/4? Okay.
3 3/4, because I believe it or not, I loved the Accelerator Suit Ripcord.
Yeah, he is a great figure.
I'm thinking about getting them. I've heard good things, yeah.
But the thing is, with Duke, you get more stuff with him. He looks more movie accurate. Because he has
the wrist thing, right?
Yeah, he has both wrists. He has, like,
yeah, that's the one thing I wanted on Ripcord. And I still gotta find Duke.
Yeah,
and I believe, from what I heard, you can't really fit it on Ripcord.
No, the only way you can fit it is if you build like a little bit of.
You just switch the heads.
Yeah, it looks weird. That's not gonna work because apparently it's painted on its neck, and so it's like
white.
Yeah, so it's like white on black. What the hell?
I guess he's an Oreo. I really like Deluxe Soundwave. I was really kind of hesitant. I got him only because I like Soundwave a lot in the game. He's got, like, laser beak turrets and shit. And I really like him as a toy. He's kind of fiddly, but, you know, he's very cool. He's very Batman-esque.
So,
get him a Gundam stand. You will love him more.
Question. Who was this? Kozumi? Who got it?
Konata, yeah.
Yeah, Konata. Okay. Have you tried out any of its fan modes or anything like that?
No, I saw that thread, though.
Yeah, because, I heard, like, a lot of his playability, just like Rampage, it comes from a lot from all these fan modes.
For me, its playability comes in the fact that, holy shit, in the game, he has laser beak turrets.
Oh, God.
He has little pods that you can launch on the ground that make the ground shake. Rumble, anyone?
Obvious Rumble reference right there.
Yeah, the game makes Soundwave fucking awesome.
Instead of just a tentacle raping.
Now, speaking of Soundwave, that concept art we were discussing earlier, not all of it was good.
Oh, God.
That Soundwave design looked like ass. And I love how the designer's comment on that Soundwave design was, isn't it so sad that he turned into something else? No, it's not! That's a terrible design! That original Sideswipe design, what was that?
Nobody knows, it just had two wheels, that's all you know.
Tranny Sideswipe.
Who knows, maybe that's his Cybertroni.
More kitchen bots, and one of the designer posted, when he posted the kitchen bots, the designer's all like, well, you know, I liked it that they farted.
Wow. Yeah, I saw one, and I was just like, well, LOL, what? It was like the microwave one?
The microwave one looks inspired, but...
Oh, that one was cool. And did you notice the iPod in the microwave?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, what the hell's up with that thing on the inside?
That's kind of funny. I think what we got in concept art this time, last movie, we pretty much just got, like, the toilet. That was the coolest thing we got out of the concept art this time. This time, we saw more cool stuff in the concept art than we did in the movie, and that's a shame. I guess that's it for that part. What toy are you playing with at the moment? Go.
The broken Halo Spartan.
That's a shame, Broken Toys. That's a shame.
I have a model of the Red Baron. Walker.
I am playing with four things. I have Alternity Black Convoy. I have a miniature Z-Bot that has an automatic rifle for a hand. I have a Z-Bot with wings on its back. And I have Armada Minicon Drillbit.
Well, I was filling around with my Figma Miku Hatsume, but I put it away because like her hair kept on falling off on me. I'm like, what the hell?
I'm also supposed to be playing with homework, but I'm not.
Oh, real life. The world's worst toy of them all.
It's the worst video game, too. Shitty graphics and everything.
Yeah,
the controller spins!
God, these controls suck.
Yeah, it's like the world's worst RPG, man. Seriously.
So I guess ranting, what toy is best at?
Yes, God.
Mattel, go.
I want to forgive Mattel. I really want to, but it's like for every time they do one thing right, they do 80 things wrong.
They do one thing right? Can you give me an example of something they've done right, please?
The figures themselves are decent, articulated well.
But if you have decent figures that you can't get your hands on, what's the point?
I completely agree, actually. My biggest qualm with Mattel is just their complete lack in care in trying to fix their distribution system.
Their complete lack of care for the customers, period.
Yeah, that too.
Because...
Yeah, I remember that question that somebody at, I'm not sure if it was BotCon or Comic-Con, where somebody asked them if they would...
Must have been Comic-Con.
Would start a adult collectors like.
Oh, that was BotCon.
That was BotCon? Yeah, but I like the question they said that.
No.
They responded to the question.
They said hell no. Period.
Yeah, pretty much.
They said no, and they pretty much did it with like, do you see what Mattel causes when they did that shit? We're not gonna do that. We're actually gonna care about our customers and try to get them the toys. And we already know that it's not all about the collectors. Kids collect toys too, you know. Kids like high-quality toys.
And I think, I have to agree because...
Mattel is doing, especially the Ghostbusters license, why the Ghostbusters license is aimed at the adult nostalgia market. If they put those in FYEs and Hot Topics, they'd sell like hotcakes. But no, they think that collectors should seek the toys. They shouldn't. That Mattel doesn't think that they should seek the collector.
And not only that, it's another problem arises where it's like, oh, since not so many people are gonna be looking for this this toy on our website, let's only make a limited amount of number of these to like such a lowest amount to see what happens.
They think that their customers are an experiment, not customers. They think that they can keep jacking around with new methods of distribution rather than going with one solid method that Hasbro's been going with and working with for years. Hasbro is better to the market even though it doesn't cater to its market. And that's because it knows it shouldn't cater to one market, it should cater to all markets and make all markets happy at one time. I wanted the Two-Face Movie Masters from Dark Knight. But the fact that I have to go through Maddie to get it, I'm probably not going to buy the figure.
And here's you bring up another good point. That was one problem that when I saw this at Comic Con. I was like, yay! And then they announced the price. I was like, what?
Well, how much is it? $20 for this?
$20. And here's the thing: you can go right now to Toys R Us and you can still pick up a Joker and a Batman for like $8.
Why on earth are they selling Batman repaints and Joker repaints on their site for that much amount of money? I don't get it. I can understand putting out new figures for that price, but these are fucking repaints we're talking about. It's absurd.
You're right.
They just need to hire better people. It's gone to a point where the collector might as well really apply themselves to the company. If they're really dedicated, they'll get it. Or they'll just stop. And if once they stop, where's their revenue going to come from?
See, though, it's not the collector they're catering to anymore, because you know who buys more of these things. The collector isn't buying the majority of these things. The majority of these toys are going to scalpers, no matter what they try to do.
Oh, not the scalper.
That's the offensive part of this thing, is that they know who they're catering to, and they know how they make money. They are getting profit from this. That it's evidence from the sellouts. If their method wouldn't work, they wouldn't be selling out of toys. But they know who they're selling these toys to. They don't care about the collector. You see what Maddie looks like. Does Maddie look like a man who cares about his customer? No, Maddie looks like a fucking cool-faced.jpg. I saw Maddie at Comic-Con, the costume, the mascot Maddie. I wanted to kick him in the dick. I don't even buy He-Man toys.
I brought one.
That guy at Comic-Con that people took pictures of, that took three boxes of He-Man art books from the Mattel booth just to scalp them, I saw that guy.
I haven't seen that photo. My God, I would punch that guy in the dick myself.
Mattel doesn't know how to cater to customers. They don't know how to care about customers. And eventually, it's not going to work out for them anymore.
Yeah, because...
Eventually, people are going to stop buying.
Yeah, I think this is one of the biggest examples of, like, backlash at what's extreme is, like, those crisis figures for DC Universe, which seems like they wanted to make something where they can pander it to the general audience, but it just fell on its ass.
Crisis shelf warms because they don't put quality into it.
That too.
And they say, oh, they're supposed to be, like, $5, like, you're supposed to just grab, and they're supposed to be impulse purchases, they're supposed to be able to... Kids, their reasoning is that kids are supposed to be able to get more of them. And I'm thinking, well, they're not quality products, and again, you're putting out a bunch of figures that I don't care about. Put out a Hal Jordan in the quality of Marvel Universe figures, I'll buy 20. Put out big name DC characters in the quality of Marvel Universe figures, I'll collect. Put out DCUC figures that I know and make them, put them in stores where I can buy them, and I'll appreciate it. You know, and Hasbro has made some shitty decisions lately as well with distribution. When I went to BotCon, they announced Masterpiece Skywarp. I was very excited about that. But then they announced it was a Walmart exclusive. And after the fiasco that was Masterpiece Starscream, How could Hasbro even dare do that again?
Yeah,
all they care about is money, bottom line. They just care about money and trying to get
But Walmart's not going to give them money if they don't sell figures, which they won't because they're not going to get them to any stores but those, quote-unquote, because this is what the actual Walmart manager told me. He said, quote, unquote, they only sent them to stores with high sales numbers. That's bullshit.
And I have to agree with you on that one because I'm suddenly reminded of like what they did with the Marvel Legends. And like they always said, okay, we're only sending them to like certain amount of stores in San Diego. Go.
They only did that because they didn't have a lot. And actually, that was a lie because I saw them at my Walmart and I saw pegs full of them. I don't live anywhere near San Diego. I live about 2 hours away from San Diego.
And the worst part, I didn't see any, and I was one of those key, and I live, like, right next to...
Dude, if you need, I probably still have pegs full.
Like, oh, God, we gotta talk about this later, then. Oh, my God. It's like...
Speaking of selling and trading, Ichabod, you have some explaining to do.
Hey, now. I'm just as broke as every other guy, I'm telling you.
Now, look, I don't have a problem with...
form of selling my bed.
Ichabod, before we started the podcast, Ichabod started wanting to started saying that he wanted to apologize for the amount of sales threat he started. I don't think it matters. We're all in tough financial straits right now. We all helped Skeletor get his rent money for this month. And not because we technically wanted his toys, but because we wanted to help a nigga out.
I actually didn't help Skeletor because I couldn't at the time.
I didn't have the money to either.
Same here.
Same here.
But sorry, see, Skeletor, everybody on the podcast with a bunch of broke assholes.
But no, the thing is, a lot of people on Toy, there's that community spirit where if a guy says, I'm poor, and offers up a good amount of toys to trade or sell, people will be like, okay, I like his selection of toys. I trust Toy because I believe that Toy as a community is a reliable, friendly place, and I want to help this guy out. The reason why there's so many sale threads is because, A, people are beginning to accept that Toy is a friendly, reliable community, where if one person promises you a figure for a set amount of money, the seller can be assured that they're going to get their money, and the buyer can be assured they can get their toy. And two, the reason why there's sale threads is because people are straight poor. People don't have money right now. 4chan is mostly college kids.
And I have to agree that 4chan is a good venue to sell toys.
Not 4chan, just /toy.
Yeah, /toy. Yeah, because if you sell one of your games to...
Because even with the Jin bitching and the Queen Catan drama and all this shit, we're a bunch of bros who actually genuinely are reliable, respectable, and friendly people.
Indeed. As I was trying to get at, I've been guilty of this as well. Don't think I have. I think I was one of the innovators of selling shit to everybody. Because I remember I was one of the first threads to put up things for sale.
Well, one of the first... I think it all started, this spirit of being able to trust your fellow toy soldier. I think it started with Dash. Kind of just like, okay, I'm going to give toys. And then trade threads started. And then people are like, well, I'm really poor and I need to sell off some toys. It's kind of evolved from Dash.
I also think one of the big milestones for Toy was the Secret Santa.
Oh, absolutely. I'm still sad I didn't participate in that. I'm
I'm sad I wasn't there to see it happen.
I'm going to try to do it this year. You know, the Toy Chest could have been another shining example of toy camaraderie. Actually, Skeletor's not in the chat at the moment, so we can't get his definitive answer. But recently in a thread, he said, look, he's trying. He needs to get his hard drive back up. He needs to get his adapters for the 2.5 SATA so he can find the addresses and get it started again. That Mexican dude is one poor example of Toy. That Mexican dude doesn't represent what Toy is, and no racism intended here. But that guy is not an example.
No offense taken.
Yeah, that guy isn't an example of Toy, of what Toy is, because I sent out that toy chest, the guy before me sent out that toy chest, the guy after me sent out that toy chest. It was the guy, two people after me, that ruined it for everyone else. But I guarantee you, if it weren't for that one dude, the toy chest would be halfway across America right now.
If not further.
if not further, and everyone would have participated and been happy, and that notebook would have been full of memories. It is really such a damn shame that toy chest didn't turn out to be what it could be. Those Z-Bots I mentioned were from the toy chest.
Jesus Christ.
The toy box, the wiki, is another great example of what toy can do as a community. I think that is the definitive source for toy information on the internet right now.
I remember I contributed to that. I think as it still stands, my Batman wiki, it's still like one of like the strongest ones of all.
Yeah, no, I put up a lot of Indiana Jones information, and I have more to put there. I have a lot of information about what Indiana Jones is.
Actually, after I made my picture box, I took a lot of pictures of my toys and put them onto the Transformers part.
Yeah, sure, we don't have as many galleries as, say, Cybertron. And I like Cybertron mainly for the galleries because, hell, I can look there and find out how to transform something. But if you look at, say, our Optimus Prime toys page on the wiki, we have as much, if not more, information than the damn Transformers wiki, which is impressive.
Yeah.
In fact, I think we should... I'm going to use this as a plug. If you've never been there, look for it. Go to it. And update it. If you haven't been there in a while, update it. If you haven't updated it ever, but you've been, contribute. That wiki needs to grow. It's one of the most important things that toys done. Because there's no other definitive source for toys on the internet like that. There's definitive sources for certain types of toys, but if you want all toys in one place, shit.
All toys all the time.
And that was started back when toys still had that element of nostalgia, and so we have a lot of information about nostalgic toys on there that you can't find anywhere else.
Indeed. The reason why I wanted to start this podcast, and I guess
it's
that's why I really latched on, because it's a sense of camaraderie that I like a lot, and that we just talk a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, sure, there's a lot of douchebags that want to start gin threads just for the sake of gin.
But toy certainly isn't V and won't be.
Yeah, like that. And it's always going to be funny where it's like, there will always be those V-tards that are like, hey, look at the toy I got.
You mad? You mad? JPEG.
Wait.
You know, podcast, I'm really happy for you, and I'm gonna let you finish, but Beyonce had one of the best podcasts of all time.
Damn you, I'll tell you that.
WTF and TFW had one of the best podcasts of all time.
You beat me to the Kanye West joke.
I was gonna do it at first, but then I'm like, wait, I should just save it till the end. We're not even near the end. What else was I gonna? I was thinking about something I was gonna mention. Oh, can we do toy movies next?
If you want.
Stretch Armstrong, May 2011. Don't stretch the me. Don't stretch yourself. Stretch the me that stretches you. Stretch Armstrong is going to be amazing. Not because of the movie, but because of the toys.
Yes, that vacuum thing. I have one of those things and that I gave to Goodwill because of stuff in my past. But that thing was the most fun thing of my childhood. I didn't know who it was. I didn't know what it was. I just played with it, and that was
my
so much
Stretch
fun.
Armstrong was actually my favorite toy until I was about 6. It was my favorite toy single-handedly. I loved my Stretch Armstrong.
I never had one.
I had one of the early 90s ones, and I had a bunch of outfits for him. And then when I was 6, you know, I had, like, I liked 12-inch toys for, because they were fun to play with as a kid because of how big they were. I actually, when I was about 7, I got a Max Steel, and Max Steel was awesome.
You know, Max Steel in Mexico? Holy shit, that's a phenomenon all in itself. If you ever want, like, more Max Steel toys, just ask me and I'll hook you up with them. Seriously.
It's big in Mexico?
It's fucking huge in Mexico, I swear to fucking God.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's huge in Mexico that you wouldn't think that it was.
There's a lot of stuff that's huge in Brazil. No,
because there's these places, like, we call them, they're like the supermarkets. Well, they call them Mercado Mexicana. And I go to their toy aisle, It's not like your Walmart. It's pretty small. But all I fucking see there is Max Steel up to this day. Up to this day. I went there like a couple weeks ago.
Do they have the cartoon on air still? Because that cartoon wasn't very good.
Okay.
If they probably have it in a dub, they probably do air it probably late at night or early in the morning.
Actually, what they did is they went the route of like everybody else, and they started making direct-to-video sequels.
Oh.
And sometimes they'll give those direct-to-video movies on TV, and that's how it still got popular still. Whenever they made a new movie or something like that, they would promote the ever-loving shit out of that.
So it's kind of like what Barbie is here for boys.
Yeah. It's like,
because they do the same thing for Barbie here. They have all those direct-to-video movies and shit.
Yeah, and it's really... It's
so they still make new Max Steel toys in Mexico?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty much.
Ichabod, we were talking about Stretch Armstrong. And then we moved on to Max Steel.
Back to toy movies.
So, okay, yeah, Stretch Armstrong is going to be weird. They haven't really announced anything about it, but they recently came out with more information about the 2010, I believe, hit blockbuster Battleship, and the director, Peter Berg, stated that it would be a very intense, dynamic, vicious battle. You sunk my damn battleship!
If they put that quote into the movie, that would be the best thing in
well,
the
they
movie.
Well, they put knowledge is half the battle into G.I. Joe.
Yeah, but it was a passing thing where it's like, if you don't know your enemy, then knowing is half the battle.
And they technically put one shall stand, one shall fall. They technically put that into the new Transformers. He said, I rise, you fall.
That was a pun on Fallen's name, too.
And then what else did they put in the Transformers movie that was a reference?
Holy shit, this guy made the rundown?
Wait, what?
Yeah, this, Peter Berg, the director of Battleship, I'm looking at his wiki of movies he did. This guy's a pretty good,
What's the rundown? Give us names, give us movies. Okay. Peter Berg is the director of Battleship.
Okay, as a director, he directed the rundown with The Rock and Sean William Scott.
Okay.
He directed Friday Night Lights.
Oh, I like that. That was okay.
He directed The Kingdom.
Oh, you mean that one movie?
Yeah, that one movie with a guy who does things.
Yeah.
Holy shit, he actually directed this movie? Hancock?
Oh! Okay, that's more familiar.
All bets are off now.
Yeah, holy shit, he's directing Dune? He's directing Dune?
They're doing another Dune movie.
Yeah, he's directing it.
Hey, did anybody ever read the Dune books? They were great.
Well, yeah, but they've done like four movies already. David Lynch and...
Hey, who remembers the LGN toys?
Actually, dude, I guarantee you, I already know they're going to do... If they're doing another Dune, they're going to do toys of it, and I'm going to be psychic here. Playmates is going to get the license.
I would like to argue with you on this. I'd like to say that McFarlane will do toys for this.
Actually, speaking of... That's another news item that I forgot to mention. Prince of Persia, McFarlane toys, they're doing play sets. Like, old school, actual toyetic play sets.
Oh, like Mighty Max?
No, like 4-inch scale figures.
Yeah.
In a play set with slides and spring-loaded launchers. McFarlane is making actual toys! Unbelievable!
That is going to be godly.
Now, I hope the movie's good.
I'm sorry. I have a little bit more faith with Prince of Persia than I do with other...
It's because things. You can do a lot more with it.
As long as... Yeah.
I don't think anyone cares if it's very accurate, actually, because the story to those games isn't very important, now is it? Nobody really cares as long as it's a dude running around doing acrobatic shit and slicing people's throats.
No, but you know for certain the hardcore fans of that game, they're going to rage hard.
But that's the thing, there aren't that many hardcore fans of that series anymore. after Warrior Within and the Two Thrones, there aren't that many hardcore fans left. You can do whatever you want with that franchise. Like, well,
sucky movie is still a sucky movie.
Well, yeah, as long as it's good, I don't think they chose a good video game to adapt because there aren't that many hardcore fans of the Prince of Persia franchise anymore. There aren't that many hardcore fans of Ubisoft games.
True.
Period. True. Ubisoft games suck. That's another camera.
Silence.
Sorry.
Buzz.
But I am very interested in this playset concept myself because it's like I was at Comic Con
and those Legos.
Not only that, but I was gonna say something interesting caught my attention there. And I hate going back to Mattel, but I remember seeing their Secret Saturday toys.
Mighty Max.
Yes.
I mentioned that on the board earlier. I was going to get to it eventually. Yeah, dude, those toys, I don't know if you've seen them in stores. They are dead clones of Mighty Max. It's a good thing.
Clones. Yeah, and you know, I like the cartoon.
I've never watched... I've watched it once, didn't really like it, but you know what? The toys make me happy.
As long as the toys make you happy, that's all I gotta say.
Like... There's a lot of Cartoon Network shows that have opportunities for good toys. Like, Ben 10 could have had awesome toys, but Bandai kind of fucked up that license. I'd love to see some proper articulated Ben 10 figures. Like, not Alien Force.
There was so much potential for really good figures out of the Ben 10 line. I love the Ben 10 series. I didn't like
that. Alien Force sucks, but... You know what other cartoon had a potential for awesome? And this is getting back to Mattel. You know another cartoon that had potential for awesome fucking toys, but Mattel killed it?
Masters of the Universe?
No. Avatar.
Oh.
Don't even get...
Fucking yes. That... Worst... I heard that toy line. There was so much...
Okay. No articulation. They didn't release the females. I want a fucking top figure with real articulation. Yes. But no.
No one buys girls' toys.
Except for faggots that buy Figmas like us.
Hey.
Exactly.
I have anime women on my shelf. In fact, I believe... Wait, is it one of us in here? Shockwave, is it you who bought Nanale?
I bought Nanale.
Fag.
I buy Nanale. Honestly, all I have right now is Aerie, and I want to get the rest.
I had no idea what the fuck Queensblade was. I believe Shockwave showed it in his live stream after RTF. And Jesus Christ, what the fuck is going on there?
Those were the OVAs, and that was, like, more fun stuff.
Dude, she had hair. She has hands for hair. Holding her breasts. Queensblade's fucks up. Is fucked up.
It is. That titty acid, the... Oh, you should have seen how Reyna defeated Malona. She basically just put her breast... Spoilers, she put her breastplate over Malona's tits, and, like, they swelled up, she blew up.
That's kind of fucked up. That's really fucked up, actually. I will watch proper animes made for men and men only, like Toradora. No. Like Basquash.
Basquash? My god.
Yeah.
The last anime I watched was Macross Frontier.
I watched Macross Frontier, and then, I'm completely honest with you, I watched and loved Toradora from beginning to end. If I were to ask them to make Figmas, if I were to talk to Max Factory and get a chance to ask them to make a Figma, give me a Minery and give me a Taiga.
You know what? The worst part is I have to agree with you.
Give me a Kushida and give me a Taiga. And then maybe give me the chick with the boobs and, like, Ryuji. And maybe that guy, that other dude, I forget his name.
don't know. Personally, it's like I just want more. I just want more fig arts, and you know, that's something where I can go on and on about.
I'm trying to get. I may get fig arts Piccolo, and then there's a store near me. Near is a very loose word there, but they have fig arts Domon, and I may get it.
Okay.
How about some less store exclusive fig arts releases?
Let me start off by saying this right now. Just as a plug for my blog, which is
blog bag.
Yeah, plasticoutpost7.wordpress.com. And I run a
don't go
that,
there.
Shut up. And we make a lot of reviews on big month, like toys that you would never like otherwise. I don't get that much attention in our opinions. And one of the figures that we happen to really like is the big month. It are the fig arts. And my friend, who also writes for it, he really, really enjoyed Domon Cashew a lot.
So you'd say he's worth buying?
Yes, very much so.
And now I'd like to link you guys to something that I was going to show Toy later, but I think I'll make it podcast exclusive. This is the most kind of best picture gallery I've seen in days. Check that out. The headline, for those of you who aren't in the studio, is Buzz Lightyear back from 468 days in space.
No, damn it.
There's a YouTube video of him floating weightless in the space station.
Him floating out of space.
I'll post that on Toy later, but I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's really cool because it's like, what better to go to outer space than Buzz Lightyear?
And here's another picture that I'm going to share with you that I'm going to share on Toy. I'm going to kind of like put these into the podcast as well. I'll edit it and shit and be all pro skill. But it's a recreation of Shadow Complex in Lego.
Oh, I've seen this. This is one of the few games I wish I had Xbox for.
Shadow Complex is great. If you haven't played it yet, do play it. Speaking of the Vidya, Saturday is September 19th, which is Talk Like a Pirate Day. And on that day, Telltale Games is going to be giving out Tales of Monkey Island Chapter 1 for free.
Really?
Yes. And I'll link that with the podcast and everything. Let me give you guys the link so you know about it. I think that's really cool, and I think it's a good way to celebrate Talk Like a Pirate Day by getting a free, awesome game. Anything else I wanted to talk about?
Let's see if I have anything that we would like. Well, you said you wanted to still talk about Superhero Squad. Am I correct?
Yes, let's talk about Superhero Squad.
Super is your squad.
Not the toys, the cartoon.
I saw the first two episodes.
Yes, the cartoon premiered on Monday with two episodes on Cartoon Network. And it's adorable.
I just like it when they have like the freaky faces, like when they're on the lamp.
I liked it whenever Hulk was on screen. Hulk yelled at a phone he yelled at a phone, trying to pick it up. It was absolutely adorable. Now, it's not as fun as Brave and the Bold, but it's awesome. And it's very fun, and it's a good way to introduce kids to those niche Marvel characters. Now, mind you, Marvel's done a much better job at keeping their characters kind of, you know, nameable, whereas DC has a lot of characters that people don't really know.
Get out of the studio, helper.
Yeah, get out of the studio, helper. Seriously. You're annoying.
Yeah. Indeed. So it does pretty much the same job as, per se, Batman, Brave and the Bold, right?
Batman, Brave and the Bold is the only thing DC's ever done to introduce new people to old, established characters.
Can I just say,
I love Batman Brave and the Bold. I love how
everyone should.
And stupid and over the top and just enough like ridiculous and awesome at the same time. It's great.
Prepare to feel my hammers of justice.
Yeah, I mean, just I don't know. It's awesome.
Even though the toys suck balls, like
the toys do suck balls. But I guess that's what you get for having a decent television show. 9 times out of 10, your toy line's gonna blow dick.
But it's so
it only blows dick because
Mattel.
Yeah.
We're not 12.
Mattel. No, because they should have fucking knees.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow, that show looks like fun.
Yeah, it is a very fun show.
I got to get a TV and cable.
This is where the age of the internet just get the torrent. I'm not condoning anything to the viewers out there, but there are sites where you can use stuff for free, but
I know, but it's just sometimes, like, you know, like, you have a, remember, like, you used to come home from school and then put some of those schedules, just come sit down, watch something, probably drink something, but it's just, like, sometimes it's fun to have a schedule to see a certain show.
I guess now is the part of the podcast where we pretend we're on toy. So I'm going to post a thread, subject, gin. And back away.
Oh, Lord.
Gin thread, low.
I actually
green text implying that gin is decent at anything. Green text implying that he isn't. Green text, Queen Catan post. ReactionFace.jpg. Spambot. Green text.
I love Spambot.
Jimmy is cool.
Her video, she perfect, 10 out of 10 OP.
Yeah.
No, it was fun when we first started those mockery threads. I think it was started first with Lawson Gun, and then we did Drossel. Yeah, those were actually fun.
Okay, now here's a bit of toy nostalgia. Back when toy was good, a year ago.
Toy was never good.
Steve Irwin, Toy Hunter.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was great.
Crikey.
Oh, I've seen, like, screen caps and pictures of that. That looked, like, so much fun.
Yeah, Steve Irwin, Toy Hunter was awesome. In fact, if we can... Here's an open casting call. Do you have a good Australian accent? Join the toy. Email the toy podcast so you can audition to be Steve Irwin Toy Hunter. We'll do a segment on the show from now on.
That'd be awesome.
I think it would be. If you think that's a good idea, text the number FUCK and type in 1 for yes and 2 for no, fuck off.
Type in apunte número tres by español.
And type in number 4 to get a free ringtone.
I'm sorry, I had to do that.
AKA spam.
Hey yo, text message, I'm gonna let you finish, and I'm really happy for your ringtone, but Beyonce had one of the best ringtones of all time.
And then I punch you. Anyways,
And then Beyonce was like, what?
And then Taylor Swift cried.
and then
Kanye West called the Taylor Swift ringtone to apologize.
Yo, dog, I heard you like Kanye in your meme, so we gave you it. Yo, exhibit, I'm gonna let you finish. I'm really happy for you. But Beyonce had one of the best pimp cars of all time.
I'm gonna let you finish. Kanye of the past, I'm gonna let you finish this, but I'm gonna tell you right now that Kanye of the future is.
Have you seen the one with a million Kanyes telling each other how Kanye had the best video of all time?
Yes.
They should make like a video recording where it just happens open over and over and over and over again.
Okay, so Ichabod's going to do an audition for Steve Irwin Toy Hunter. Go ahead.
Alright, hold on.
Crikey, what do we have here? It's my terrible accent.
Boo! Okay, so yeah, Ichabod's accent is terrible, so do send us your auditions to Ramses. You want to set up an official toy podcast email?
We know there are Australians on toy. If you see this, we know you're there are Australians on toy.
Let me
send us messages.
Because I just found it on the archive. Like, hello, I'm Steve Irwin. Don't believe me. Check
what
my
the
back.
Fuck is that?
Today I'm going out to hunting for toys.
Ichabod's is better.
Ouch, that is purple to Randy's.
Wow.
I'm going to go to the corner now and
that sounded like a British person, not an Australian person. Australians need to sound a bit more drunk.
Well, get me after a couple of cervezas, and then we'll discuss about what's drunk.
I can do Gollum. I mean, if we ever have a call for Gollum from Lord of the Rings, you just let me know.
So if you want to see more shenanigans, I guess we're going to do the podcast whenever the fuck we feel like getting off our lazy asses and trying to do this shit on Skype again. Here's a little... I guess... anyone else want to say anything, or are we done for the week?
Everyone, I just want to say thanks for tolerating my voice for however long this godforsaken fun.
Your voice is wonderful.
Oh, you be quiet.
I just want to interrupt you all by saying that Beyonce had the greatest exit of all time.
Now, Ramses, I'm going to let you finish. But I got to say that Beyonce had the best interruption of all time.
Now, Shockway, I'm going to let you finish. But Beyonce is the best Mexican of all time.
Oh. Oh, man, Shock. You want to take that?
I'm speechless. What do you
I
say
to that? Beyonce's not even Mexican. That doesn't even make sense.
I know. What do you say to that?
Shut up, Helper. Helper's ruining the podcast again. So I guess this is Mr. Konatazumi signing out.
Anybody else signing off?
This is Ichabod signing off.
And I guess that beeping was Helper signing off.
And I'm Ramsey signing off, and I think in Carol Skeletor, he's signing off too, so...
He-Man defeated him. That's why he's unable to properly sign off.
The favorite, next time we go, we're going to have a better show. Hopefully,
Today was a good show. We can't get any better. We're 4chan faggots. 4chan faggots don't produce anything good.
Good point. Anyways, good night, people.
Night, nigga.
Mind and time, you find my lines combining the twine, underline, rhyme divine. No rhyme, you go against me. 249, lift you swiftly. Front lines in it, whip me. Think I'm lying, come and get me. Ha, Sergeant Briggs, reporting for duty.
Roger.
Some say this belong in the movie, but this the third installment, Infinity.